This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The art and delight of storytelling will be celebrated in Auburn on January 25th with the 5th Annual Winter Storytelling Festival. With me is Sherry Anderson. She's chair of the festival. She is herself a storyteller, an author, and a teacher. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Glad
Thank
to have
you
here.
Thank you.
Joining us by phone is Ruth Stotter. She is a professional storyteller, author, and teacher who has traveled the world sharing this art. She is a former chairperson of the American Folklore Society's Folk Narrative section. Ruth, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
And let me start, Ruth, with this question. Does the purpose and necessity of storytelling change over time?
I'm not sure that it does. I think that we are only recently discovering the myriad of accomplishments that storytelling creates. It's so much more than just entertainment, which many people would put that foremost on their list. But there are so many subtexts in the actual stories. And since I'm here to talk about the festival that's coming up, what happens at the storytelling festivals in the process of storying? You know, in Native American languages, story is a verb. So there's storying, like dreaming or sleeping or singing. And it is an active process between an audience and the teller, like a wedding or a birthday party. There's sort of an intimacy of the people being together and sharing this experience. It's an event. So that part of it, I don't think has changed. There have been discoveries. I think it's maybe in the last 40, oh, even longer than that, therapists and psychologists have discovered how powerful stories can be when they're working with clients, that they can give a new perspective. And, you know, along that line, going off on a segue, but James Hillman, who was the former director of the Jungian Institute, mm-hmm. he wrote a powerful essay that if you grow up knowing stories, the traditional tales, you never need a therapist. They're preventative medicine because they develop your heart and your mind. They teach you to have critical thinking and to have compassion. If a little old woman by the side of the road asks you to share your roll, your bread with her, and you refuse, you're turned into stone. And that's a metaphor that your heart is stone, that you aren't open to sharing. But it doesn't have to tell you that. It would take away from the story if you point out things. But kids get it. I remember a little boy saying to me, you know, my mommy turns into a witch. Get in there and clean up your room. But I know she's really my mommy. You know, so they get it. And it's exciting that stories have become more popular through the moth and other approaches today. So that's a difference, that younger people are discovering telling personal stories is a very powerful and exciting event to attend. Are you familiar with the moth?
Oh, yes. Moth is wonderful podcast and website. Sherry's going to add to what you're saying right now.
I can remember one of the first times I was telling a story on stage. I was just really into it, just thinking about it. And I turned around and looked at the audience, and they were absolutely silent. I mean, it was like they weren't blinking or breathing. They were in it with me, you know. It was that feeling of what's going to happen next that you get when you go to a wonderful film or a theater production. We have that in storytelling, too. I was reading not too long ago that scientists have found people who are watching a film they activate two parts of their brain. But when you're sitting and listening to a story being told, it actually activates seven parts of your brain. Mm. And the part that is activated is the imagination. Because you're seeing that little boy, is he a redheaded little boy, or does he have brown hair? Or, you know, each of us are seeing the parts of the story in a way that is personal to them.
How do you teach someone to be a storyteller? Is that a knack or an ability that someone is born with, or can it be developed? Ruth, what do you think?
Well, every storyteller trainer would answer that differently. When I start a storytelling class and we go around and everyone says what their background is, if it's adults, and they say they're an actor or an engineer, I smile inside because I know I'm going to have more of a challenge with those people, but that at the end of the semester, they're going to be better than everyone else. The actors, they know how to change their voice and develop characters and have timing. And it's just a matter of getting them to look at the audience, to care about the audience, to have a positive feeling about storytelling, that it's not just standing in front and entertaining, but that it is this interactive process. And so it's simple once they get that. And with the engineers, it's a little different. If I can get them to look at the audience and to speak up loudly enough to be heard, what they bring with them is this internal visualization. So if an engineer, this sounds kooky, but remember I'm from Marin County, but I have tested this. If they tell a story about perhaps their brother and they were walking in a forest, and I say, stop, everybody draw the forest that Kyle is describing. And Kyle looks at the pictures and said, yes, 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 and they all have the kind of trees. He never said what kind of trees. If I tell a story and say, my sister and I were walking in a forest, okay, stop, everyone draw a forest. They might draw a redwood forest, a birch forest, a cedar forest, but their intensity of seeing it in their mind somehow transmits to the audience, and it's powerful.
Mm.
So using what the person brings with them, I think helping people find their own style, their own approach, so that you can hear the same story told by well, for example, one of the exercises I do with a beginning class is I have a story that I give everybody in the class. It's the same story, but they have a goal, and they each go off by themselves with their goal. Your goal might be to make this the most important story we've ever heard. If we get it, it will change our life. Your goal might be to make the two characters so different that if you told another story afterwards, we'll recognize them immediately. Your goal is to place it in a country and to add details so we know exactly where it is. Your goal is to add five sound effects, etc. At the end of when they come back, first they're angry that they all have the same story. And then when they start listening, everybody is, as Cheryl was describing, just listening and into it because they're seeing something different. They're hearing something different. And at the end, they guess each other's goal. And I have the last person bumble and fumble their way through the story as if they don't remember it. And then they say the last few lines clearly so that the point of the story clearly does come across. And it's my way of showing that it's not how you tell it that's the most important thing. The most important thing is your interaction with the audience, your comfort being up there, even if you are fumbling. And as long as the story gets across, that's the important message that you're doing. That's why you're there, to tell the story.
Ruth, I'm going to pause you there to let everybody know that the 5th Annual Auburn Winter Storytelling Festival is Saturday, January 25th. It's near the end of the month. It's a free event sponsored by the Arts Council of Placer County and the Auburn Arts Commission. It's open to the public. It happens at the General Gomez Art Gallery on Lincoln Way in downtown Auburn. And Sherry, anything else to know about attending the festival?
We have children's stories in the morning and after lunch all day long and into the evening are adult stories, grown-up stories. And Ruth will be teaching a workshop from 1 to 2:30. So it's called Teller's Toolbox. So she will be illustrating all of these things she's been talking about.
All right, Ruth, we're going to add a little more from you to our website. Same with you, Sherry Anderson. Thank you both for joining us. And again, we'll post a link because the Auburn Winter Storytelling Festival is Saturday, January 25th. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us. The 5th Annual Auburn Winter Storytelling Festival happens in Auburn on January 25th. Here's a little PS from Sherry Anderson, who is chair of the festival. She's also a storyteller. We're going to hear a bit more about exactly how to navigate and experience the festival. Sherry, what's it all about?
Well, so many people, when they hear that you're doing storytelling, they envision children sitting on the floor and a lady standing and telling stories or reading stories. And we do have that at the Storytelling Festival. At 10:30 in the morning, we have an hour of children's stories. And it's facilitated by Ed Lewis, who is a retired childhood professor, early childhood professor. And he does stories interactive with the children. He'll stop the story and say, well, does this little boy need to go on his bike or shall he go in his scooter? And the kids will tell him which way the story is going to go. Mm-hmm. So they're all actively involved in this story. So that's for the hour in the morning. We break for lunch, and at 1 o'clock, we have a workshop. Ruth Stotter will be here. Ruth Stotter is one of the premier storytellers in the United States. She won the Oracle Award from the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee for her lifetime achievement. And she's going to be teaching a workshop called Teller's Toolbox. It's 90 minutes, and she's going to give us techniques for taking a written text and turning it into an oral presentation. Mm. Now, you may think, oh, well, I can read a fairy tale and tell my grandchildren or my children the story. But it also has, for business people, you ever have to give a report in front of your associates in a boardroom, or maybe you have to talk at church and relay one of the stories from the Bible. So turning a text into an oral presentation would be a great advantage to have. At 2:45, we have what we call open telling. Anyone in the audience can stand up on stage and tell a 5-minute story. So this is where we get a lot of beginning storytellers come in and tell a story. Last year, we had a wonderful story about a first date and, oh, how badly it went. And we've had stories. We had a man talk about a funeral that was just so touching. Mm-hmm. And we all had tears in our eyes for 5 minutes. And then we had a man who came and he told us about taking his sweet little heifer cow that he had raised to be serviced by a big Brahma bull that was the ugliest thing he'd ever seen, and he just didn't want to do that. And then at 4:45, our most popular event is the Liars Contest. This is where all the tall tale tellers get up and tell tall tales, and we have a trophy. It's a golden shovel. And then in the evening at 6:30, we have 5 professional tellers. You may not even be aware there is such a thing as the festival round, these professional storytellers. Tim Arenada is a professional storyteller. He tells Grimm's fairy tales for grown-ups. And we have Alicia Reitez, who is the educational director at the American Indian Museum in Nevada. She's going to be coming telling traditional Native American tales. Claudia Tong will be here. Ruth Stotter will tell stories in the evening. And
Tom Wade,
mm-hmm. who is from Nevada City. And he has the best quote that you've ever heard. He only tells true stories. He says, the stories that I tell, They have to be true. No one could make up these kind of stories.
Well,
so
it's
great fun.
Would you tell us a story?
I'd love to. This is one of my favorite stories. There was a time in America where a man could own all the land he could ride his horse across in a day. And there was such a man. His name was Jed Jones, and he owned this big cattle ranch out in West Texas, and he was very successful. Except he was just a little bit lonely, and he decided he really needed to find a wife. So he went bride shopping. Well, the first lady he met, she seemed nice enough, and then she did a little twirl and disappeared. Well, Jed didn't think that was a great trait to having a wife. So he went on and he found a second lady, and this lady had a nice talent. She could walk up the wall and dance on the ceiling. Well, he wasn't impressed too much by that. The third lady he came across, her talent was very useful. She could call in the pigs at night. Oh, sooky, sooky, sooky! Except if you remember, I said Jed Johnson, he had a cattle ranch. He didn't have a use for calling in the pigs at night. So he was getting very discouraged. And then he met a lady named Honey. And Honey, well, her talent was just odd. It was just this weird, weird thing that she did. You see, Honey was a storyteller. So she sat down by Jed. And she told him the story of the three goats who lived under the bridge. And she told him the story about a giant who lived in a beanstalk. On and on she told stories. Jed laughed. Jed cried. Jed fell in love. And do I need to tell you that they lived happily ever after?
And you had me all the way to the last word. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Good luck with the festival. Thank you for the story and the smile for this day.